Welcome back to another session of Thursday evening. Musa Shir, and we are on Daf Mem, and we're continuing in the trait Midas HaBusha of shame, embarrassment, and we're going to see now a different aspect of Busha, and in terms of how one should act or not act if our actions will cause somebody else embarrassment. So on the top of the page there on Daf Mem, Le'olam Yagil Adam Atzmo, Shelo Yaseh Davar She'Chaver Mispayish Lo Malo. Never do. A person should get into the habit of never acting in a manner or doing anything that his friend that you're doing it to, in other words, that we're doing it to, would object to. Don't do anything that I know something, someone will object to what I'm doing. And he gives an example. Cohen, for example. To clarify what was just said, a person should be careful not to do anything that his friend would be embarrassed to say that he objects to it. In other words, well, let's look at the example. Kagon, for example, Adam sheyesh lo devar seiser. If you have something of privacy, v'chaver nichnas etzlo, and somebody walks in on you, you're working on your computer, for example, or you have some secret private information that you're working on in writing or listening to, and somebody walks in on you, you walk in on him, and he is embarrassed to tell you to leave, but he doesn't want your company now. Your friend is in the middle of doing something, and it's something which is his business and his business only, and I walk in on him, and I know that because of our relationship, he'd be ashamed to tell me to, take a walk. So I have to be careful not to put my friend in a predicament, in that position, to do something or act in a manner that I know he doesn't want, but he's embarrassed to object to it. Let me just clarify again. If you know you're dealing with a person who is very open with you, and you know that if he doesn't want your presence, he will tell you to take a walk, then obviously there's no problem. Then you know if he doesn't want you there, he'll tell you to leave. If he doesn't mind, he won't say anything. But if you're suspicious and you don't know, or you know that he has the personality that he wouldn't tell you this, then don't put him in a position that he would like you to tell you to leave, because he's ashamed to tell you to leave. Okay, the third line down. Oh, sheyis achsein beveis chavero. Let's say you pop over at someone's house. Can I stay overnight? V'hu mitzta'ar bozeh. And you know that the host is disturbed by it. Mizbayish loma lo lotzeis. But he is ashamed to tell you, I'm sorry, I can't have you here tonight. But don't put him in the position that possibly, it has to be possible, because if you know for sure that the guy, my feeling is you shouldn't, even if the guy is frank and you know he doesn't want you there, anytime you know for sure he doesn't want you there, then don't go. But if you're not sure if he wants you there, and he happens to have the personality that he will not be open because of his feeling of shame, don't put him in a position that he's not going to say anything. He's not holding back because he doesn't mind your company. He's holding back because he's ashamed to tell you to get out. So this is the situation. I know of a case many years ago. Somebody, a newlywed, here's where we have to be particularly sensitive to this. Particularly the first year of marriage, and certainly earlier. The general rule is, I mean, the Chosan and Kala should know this on their own, that they should spend as much time by themselves as much as possible, certainly Shona Rishona. And now that doesn't mean never have anybody over, but just, don't do it too often. But as a visitor, popping in or asking, making a request of newlyweds, can I stay over? Shana Rishona, that's not something that is done. I know of people who they were just married, I think they were married for 2 weeks, and somebody, an old friend of theirs from years past, happened to be coming through the city that they lived, and just phoned them and said, listen, I'm in town, I don't have a place to stay, would you mind if I come over and stay overnight? Now, they had him overnight because they were ashamed to say no. They were embarrassed to turn the guy down. He could have gone to a motel, but they were ashamed to turn him down. And the residual effect is to this day. I'm talking about 20 years, more than 20 years ago. And they still, the husband and wife still are troubled, still remember how uncomfortable they felt that after 2 weeks of being married, someone was staying over at that house. So you see the effects of it. I don't mean to underestimate the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim. You know, I'll tell you, Maisra, Mrs. Zalman Meltzer was known for his Hachnasas Orachim. And it was a Maisra that he was already sleeping, and a reach came, someone knocked on the door to stay overnight. His daughter answered the door, and there was no room, there was no beds in the house. So she said, I don't have a place to put you. But she felt bad, so she reached into her pocket, and she gave him money and showed him where the motel is. There's a motel down the block, an inn, and go down there, here's the money for it, no problem. Woke up in the morning, she went to sleep in her bed, of course, woke up in the morning, Rabbi Zalman, her father, found out about it, and, I don't want to say he went ballistic, chas v'shalom, but he reprimanded his daughter, and he said, what? Hachnasas Orachim, you should have taken the money and gone to the motel. You think because you live here, you have rights on the bed? Hachnasas Orachim, Hachnasas Orachim. So I'm saying I'm not underestimating you, but that's a madriga. So I'm just, the point here is, you have to be sensitive. Never to put yourself or someone else in a position where you're forcing yourself upon them, knowing or even suspecting that perhaps they don't want to turn you away. They want to turn you away, but they won't turn you away because they're ashamed. All right, let's continue. Another example. Oh, Shayikra, the fourth line down at the end of the line. Oh, Shayikra, Ksovim Shel Chavera. Or reading somebody else's mail. V'chavera misbayesh loma lo shel Yikra. And as you're looking over his shoulder to read his mail, he's ashamed to tell you to bug off. So that is something we have to be careful about. And number one, you know, this I guess would apply to email, what we call email these days, accessing someone else's email. So there is a chayram rabbeinu. Obviously, it's something which was done and is done to the point that there is something famous, chayram rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom came out with a decree, a chayram, which means an excommunication for somebody to read someone else's information. So obviously Rabbeinu Gershom felt that it was necessary to come up with this excommunication with the Chayrim because it's something that was done. I know certainly in my days I've seen people looking over other people's shoulders, you know, what's going on. But it is done. I don't think the people who do it are viewed as abnormal. These are normal people. But they're inquisitive, or another word we can use is nosy. Right, or better yet, give you another example, which is certainly certainly cases where a conversation. Let's say you're having a conversation. I know this has happened to me numerous times. You're having a conversation with a person, and somebody sticks their nose in and walks over in the middle of your conversation. You know, just stands around to listen, and you're in a predicament. You're ashamed to tell the guy to get lost, you know. So this is exactly the same thing. Any situation where you feel, yes, it's private, I'm talking to you. If I'm talking to a person, I should assume that, hey, I'm standing here talking to this person alone. You know, at least you should have the decency and say, excuse me, would you mind if I join the conversation? But just, there are people who would just walk over and join without the invitation. And that is something you have to be sensitive to. Either one is going to be ashamed to tell you, not to tell you to get lost. The question came up about a husband reading the mail that came for a wife or vice versa. We told the mice around this table many years ago, I had a discussion once with Rabbi Wagner, Zichrono Levracha. He was the former Rav, Young Israel of Forest Hills. I had to ask him a shaila which was of personal nature. And I met with him privately, and I opened up my conversation with him by saying, is it okay if this stays between the two of us? So he said to me on the spot, Let me tell you a maisa that I had with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He said he himself had a question that he was discussing with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he said to Rabbi Yaakov, is it okay if it stays just between the two of us? And Rabbi Yaakov said, if you mean I cannot discuss this with my wife, then I don't want to have this conversation. Because between me and my wife, everything is open, and I never know what can come up in conversation, and this may come up in a conversation. I won't actively necessarily go over and tell her about it, but it may come up in conversation, because with my wife and I have a relationship that everything is in the open. But so if you're machbid that my wife should know, then I'd rather not discuss it. If you don't mind, if it doesn't include my wife, then fine. So Rabbi Wagner said that to me with he and his wife as well. If I don't mind that his wife may find out about it, he'll discuss it with me. If I am concerned that I don't want even his wife to know about it, then he'd rather not discuss it. So husband and wife is a delicate situation. Let's continue. V'chol k'yotze b'zeh, yedakteik mo'od b'davar. A person should be very careful. Shlo yachpid atzmo b'shum davar. Never to impose himself in any manner. V'shlo yishal davar mimenu. Never make a request of someone else. Shum matana, either a gift. O lishol kalev, this is very important. Or to borrow his utensils or his vessels. O mo'osav, or to borrow money. B'mokom shiyodea, in a situation that you know. Shechavera eina osa b'ratzon, that he is doing it reluctantly, he really doesn't want to do it. And he really doesn't want to turn, he's ashamed to turn you away. So any situation where you know, for particularly borrowing, that borrowing a car is a good example of this. Borrowing a car is a very sensitive thing. Most people, 99.9% of people, do not like to lend out their car. You know, not because they're selfish, because it's a tremendous expense and no one knows your car like you know your car. Even starting the engine, you do it your way. So to make a request to borrow someone else's car, this is an example where you know the guy may be ashamed to tell you no. You don't do it. You know, you find this with children in school, and that's where it starts off, where children, one child goes over to another child and asks them for some of their snack. Now, some kids are just ashamed to say no. So here my mom packed my bag for me, and I have a couple of chips and a couple of cookies. And it's supposed to carry me through the day, and you're asking me for some, and I'm ashamed to tell you no. So here's a situation with the same idea. Don't put yourself in a position where someone is ashamed to turn you down. Well, me sheyesh. Let's continue. Misha Yeshla Midas Habusha, a person who is imbued with this sense of shame himself, it's hard for him to bear that someone else should be ashamed of him. In other words, if I have the sense of shame, I'm not going to put you in a position where you are ashamed. And about this, the Chacham said, Al Toav, listen to a rule in friendship, gentlemen. Al Toav mibnei Adam, Ela mi shemara atzmo sheino yochol lamod bilti ezroscha. Only develop a love with people who give the impression that they cannot get along if they don't have you. They need you. Even though it's really in truth the opposite. You need him more than he needs you. In other words, you want to develop a relationship with someone? Develop a relationship with only that kind of person who you have the impression of him. He gives you the impression, in other words, that, oi, I need you so much. That's the kind of person to develop a feeling of love for. The kind of person who, if he does sin against you, if he wrongs you, he will ask mechila, he will ask forgiveness, and he will give the appearance as if he is the one. In other words, it's just the opposite. If you sin to him, he will give you the impression that he sinned to you. That's the kind of person to develop a relationship. He's the kind of person who will make requests of you so that you shouldn't be ashamed of him. What he means in this last sentence is, if I know if I know you are ashamed, if I know you are ashamed to come to me to borrow something of mine, I have a face of vacuum cleaner, and I know that you need the use of my vacuum cleaner, but I know you're ashamed to ask me. I should go to you and say, oh, by the way, can I borrow your hammer, your screwdriver? So this way it makes it easier for you to come to me and borrow my thing and not be ashamed to borrow my thing. That's the kind of person to develop a relationship with. The question is the question that's being raised here, what about in the community where people are friendly and close to one another? You know, how does this apply? Well, there is what I like to refer to as the bungalow colony hanhaga philosophy. I don't know if you're familiar with bungalow colonies, but bungalow colonies in the Catskill Mountains are colonies of tens and twenties and thirties, you know, 100 bungalows near, very close, almost on top of one another. And when the next door neighbor is putting up the chicken soup, you smell it ganz fine. And sometimes you have people knocking on your door, or coming in without knocking on your door. If you don't mind, I'll taste the soup for you tonight to make sure that's someone else's soup. You understand? And sometimes it's a little bit too close for comfort. So the truth of the matter is, it is not right. It is, and many friendships have been broken because of it. What's the phrase? Familiarity breeds contempt. If you become too powsy-wowsy and everyone's schmoozing with one another, that doesn't mean don't have friendship. But there's a time and a place, and just people to hang over. If you know you're in for trouble, if the same person is hanging around your house too often, if it's too frequent, that's going to be a problem. Even with inviting people over for a Shabbos meal, it's not wise to have the same person over too often. You know, you're very friendly with them, you want to have them over more often than someone else, fine. But if it becomes too regular, that means too familiar, and they're already going into your cupboards and picking up the lids of your pots to see was tut sich dort, was kocht sich dort, you know what I mean? Where it does happen, unfortunately, in our communities sometimes, I mean not necessarily here, but in the Torah observant community, it causes problems, and it causes family problems and marriage problems, because husbands become too friendly with wives. I'm talking about not their own wives, you know, and it causes issues. Again, it's sometimes what leads to it is that the recipient is ashamed to tell the one who is coming in unannounced, you know, to take a walk. That's where it starts from. So it develops, and they reach a point where people make themselves a little bit abyssal tzik bakvemt, as Rav Mizrachi. Don't make yourself too comfortable in someone else's house. I'll bring you a raya from a case that happened to me. I was at a chasana years ago. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was there. He was walking out of the chasana, leaving. I went over to him. I wanted to ask him something. I wanted to discuss something. I asked him, can I speak to the Rosh Yeshiva for a minute? And he said, no, I can't now. He was very frank. He said, no, now. He was a Balmidas to the nth degree, Yaakov Kamenetsky. But I was taken aback a bit, but I look back at it now and I say, he obviously felt that he absolutely could not in that situation. And that's it. You know, our Rosh Yeshiva used to use a line which is very important, I think, which fits in here. One of the things that a person should work on very hard in life is to be sensitive to other people's sensitivities and insensitive to other people's insensitivities. And that will get you very far.
And that ain't
okay?
Easy, because
that's
you're
not easy. Okay, we'll resume Amir Tzashem in 2 weeks from now. Have a wonderful evening.
Carol, can I ask you